You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
I'm joined by my first guest, who is a writer for the spin-off. Them and Alex Casey have recently done a collaboration with New Zealand On Screen to highlight the best of the 2010s entertainment sector from Aotearoa with an online collection on the New Zealand On Screen website. We have Tara Ward sitting directly opposite me in the studio for her first ever in-studio chat on radio. It's great. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm so well. It's so exciting to be here. Thank you.
I'm super stoked to have you, man. Super stoked. So how long have you been in Dunedin for?
We moved here about 4 years ago, but I grew up in the south, so it's always been home. Lots of family have lived here, and yeah, it's good to be back. Such a great little city.
Cool, because when I think of people in media, I often think of, you know, Wellington, Auckland.
Yeah. Well, the spin-off has a few people scattered around the country, which is great, so we can pick up on different voices in lots of different places. Yeah.
It's helpful for making something that's supposed to represent a collective experience, which I guess is what this collection is doing. And one of the things I noticed in the 2010s entertainment sector is just the rapid growth of online streaming services. Kiwis going away from the TV to watch YouTube or Netflix or whatever. Do you think our entertainment industry, and especially with regards to television, reacted well to that massive change?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the decade, when my colleague Alex Casey and I came to pull together all the things for NZ On Screen for this Best of Tens collection, you know, it starts off with Outrageous Fortune finishing, and, you know, 725,000 of us watched the final episode. And then you see reality TV kick in, you see the start of streaming and on demand, and we kind of start to turn away from broadcast TV. So I think it was such a time of rapid change, and you sort of saw that unfold through the decade. Whether or not we were fast to respond to that, I'm not sure. I think we weren't sure where it was going to take us. So if you told us in 2020 that this is what we'd be doing compared to 20, if you told us in 2010 that's what the rest of the decade would look like, I think we'd be quite amazed.
You'd probably be laughed at.
Yeah.
One of the sad things about last decade was that C4 went kaput, it turned to 4, then to Bravo, and I don't even know what that means. Why did it have to end? Because I have very, very fond memories of loving C4 as a youngin.
Yeah, you know, I think it was just maybe part of the changing times, that people were watching TV differently, and the shows like, you know, C4 had that sort of that rough and ready charm to it, that anything could happen.
And in a good way, not in a Joe Rogan way.
Yeah, and it was something that we weren't getting anywhere else.
Yeah, exactly.
So it is sad that things like that sort of disappeared through the decade.
Oh, that kind of leads into my next question. With the end of C4 and Outrageous Fortune, as you mentioned, did the 2010s seem a bit tamer than the 2000s? I mean, in the 2000s, 90s, there were things like Back of the Y and Moon TV, you know, were the 2010s a little bit chiller, a bit more polished?
I think perhaps we turned to other places to get that kind of content.
True.
You know, YouTube started to come through, and everyone had that opportunity to make their own kind of content that they wanted to make. So, I mean, maybe there was less colour in that decade, and other things filled that gap. I think, you know, the rise of reality TV, things like The Bachelor NZ and The X Factor Live, and, you know, which were huge at the time. You know, we had theatres full of people watching the live shows and really getting into it. So quite different content, but other things kind of slid in there in their place.
You know, Radio 1 had a Bachelor contestant. Did you watch The Bachelor when it came out?
I absolutely did.
Dave Barry, the guy who ate the egg?
Oh my gosh, that's
a flashback. Yeah, he was our music director.
Wow.
I do want to give a quick shout out to Dave Barry for being an absolute legend. Now, as you mentioned before, you note that there was a huge rise in reality TV.
Yeah.
There was the GC, Gold Coast, X Factor, Housewives of Auckland, which I didn't even know was a thing, Casketeers, just to name a few. Why did our audience crave it and lap it up so much?
I think there was so much of it coming in from overseas, those franchises, and I think we wanted the chance to make our own version of them, even if that version was a little bit sort of, you know, typically New Zealand. I think it just, it showed us who we were in a different way, and let us, you know, if you look at the Casketeers, which gave us an insight into death and, you know, sort of took a very tricky subject and handled it very sensitively but with humour as well, and sort of also gave us insight into different cultures and how different other cultures treat death.
Yeah.
So, you know, it showed us who we were at that time in a different way that we had seen before, and I think that's why people responded to it.
You know, we're an isolated country in a lot of ways, politically, culturally, so on and so forth from the rest of the world. Do you think the influx of reality TV is like we've been deprived of it for so long that we just wanted to eat it, get it as much as possible? Is that maybe a factor?
Yeah, I think so, and maybe just to see we can do it just as well as the rest of the world. Yeah,
very, very fair. Included in this collection is the Stephen Choice Dildo protest. Why no Paddy Gower? This is the news. why didn't that make the cut?
That's a good point. That's a good point. And a clip
I think
that
of those
still
as
lives
like
on.
Twins.
Yeah. I mean, there were lots of sort of viral moments in the decade. If you look at the Shortland Street, please tell me there's not
that's
your penis clip.
That
went international. That ended up being on Kimmel Live.
And John Fallon. What's his face? John Oliver.
Yes,
I think
yes.
John Oliver made fun of it as well.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I love that. You know, I've got a soft spot for Shortland Street, and I love how it was kind of a very unexpected and quite bonkers moment, but also was, you know, in the way that Shortland Street often does, was sort of anchored in real life New Zealand issues around teens and technology, but wasn't afraid to take the fun out of itself, you know. Lots of viral moments and lots of spontaneity.
Mm. The Stephen Joyce dildo protest movement. The protester makes a very dark remark about national really selling off our sovereignty. Those aren't the words that she specifically used. But do you think that that point that she made, that political point she made, was sort of undercut by how it entered the comedy sphere? Because it really became a kind of a meme immediately. And her words seemed to have lost all their weight.
Yeah, perhaps. I mean, that's the image that people remember, I guess. And I guess that's the good thing about New Zealand on screen is that you can kind of, you know, discover these moments again and you know, the thing I love about NZ on screen is that you kind of fall into a rabbit hole. You discover all these little things from our past, and then you sort of find out a little bit more about them and discover what those initial messages were and what was happening in the country at the time that led to that.
Shortland Street, as I've mentioned before, grew in strength and confidence. Ed Sheeran made an appearance, which I had no idea about. There's that penis line, which you mentioned before. Are you surprised that sort of a hospital-themed Coronation Street managed to, you know, do as well as it has?
No. Shortland Street, I think, for 30-something years has continually told our stories in ways that other TV shows don't. And you know, in a lot of ways, it was created to emulate shows like Neighbours and Home and Away. Could have given us our own nightly soap, but it's sort of gone on to capture who we are and poke fun at who we are and raise issues about what's going on in the real world. So, and it's shifted over those years as well. The Shortland Street of 2010 is not the Shortland Street that it was, you know, going into COVID, and it's continually evolving.
How did Shortland Street react to COVID? Did they have like COVID episodes?
They at the moment they're going through a very deadly pandemic. but at the time they went down to episodes. There was a lot of sort of trickery around, you know, having the actors certain meters apart, and you know they kind of responded to it the best way that they could at the time.
Crack.
Yeah.
The Casketeers is worth mentioning because it was an international hit.
Yes.
It went on Netflix, it went on the Australian SBS network. It had 40 episodes across 5 seasons.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, it's a really good insight into not only death but other cultures. There's a lot of te reo.
Yep.
Do you think it made a lot of folks feel a bit calmer about death, a bit chiller about death?
Absolutely. And I think it did that with humour and sensitivity. You know, you have the scenes inside the funeral home, but you also have Francis out in the car park with his leaf blower, you know, trying to keep everything clean. So it was sensitive and it was funny and it was also really insightful. And, you know, death is a scary thing, and I think that's perhaps made it a little bit less scary in a way that no other TV show had.
With te reo entering the mainstream on news and in films like The Deadlands, you know, Kimbra won a Grammy, Taika had a hit three-film run, there's a rise of New Zealand comedy on screen, both here and abroad. Is the 2010s a decade when New Zealand sort of came more into its own and got a bit more confident, maybe?
Yes, yeah, I think confident is the word. It was a time when there were lots of more diverse voices coming through, and you look at Ahi Karua, which is the longest running bilingual program and is still going strong today. Aroha Bridge as well. You know, there was a confidence there and a diversity in voices that we perhaps hadn't seen before, and has sort of continued to grow in strength.
Mm. Do you think most of the cultural forces that sort of dictated the output of the 2010s are still with us in the 2020s?
Oh,
because I'm thinking like the online problem has only gotten even worse.
Yeah. I think online has its positives in that it can give voice to other creative forces that perhaps aren't getting through onto mainstream television. So, I'm not too sure about that one.
Mm. If you had to score the 2010s out of 10, what would you give it?
Oh, 10.
Give it a 10?
Yeah, why not?
I'm feeling a strong 9 to a 10.
Awesome. I'm glad. I'm very, very glad. I think that's all the time we have for this kōrero. I want to thank you for coming on, Tara.
Thanks so much.
Do you have any New Year's Eve plans? This is something I've been asking all my guests as I close out the interview.
I am so old, Zach, that my New Year's Eve, look, if it's an early night in bed with a good book, like that's a win for me.
Very fair. Very, very fair. What can I really ask? What are you reading?
What am I reading? Yeah. I've just got, the name escapes me. I'm reading the new David Nicholls book about the two people going along on a walk. I've just started it. Yeah, great.
Riveting.
I've really given it a
books
great,
about walking.
A great sell there. Yeah, go out and buy it immediately. It's a best sell.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on, man. I really appreciate it. Folks, that was Tara Ward. We're talking about New Zealand on Screen and Spinoff's collaboration, which has a cheeky gander and sort of recollects the 2010s entertainment scene from Aotearoa to sort of...
That was a Radio 1 91FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.